Hello and welcome to CJ Evolution, the podcast dedicated to helping criminal justice professionals like you. Now here's your host, fellow CJ Evolutionary, Patrick Fitzgibbons.
Hello everybody, welcome back, CJ Evolution, that's Criminal Justice Evolution. I'm Patrick, this is episode 77. You know, a lot of us, all the first responders, police officers, we come into contact with a variety of victims on a day-to-day basis, and one of the crimes that I never liked as a police officer on the street were crimes against the elderly. We have a special guest on tonight, Curtis Bailey. He's practiced law in St. Louis, Missouri area since 1991. Among other things, he helps individuals and families with their wealth and kind of estate planning. But he's the co-director of a Senior Scam Action Associates that is devoted to educating seniors, their caregivers and professionals that work with seniors about how to protect themselves from scams and fraud. And Curtis is going to talk about the uptick in crimes against the elderly, and I'm so happy he's on tonight. He's also the co-host of Scammercast podcast on the Two Guys Talking podcast network, and they're featured on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Curtis, sir, thank you for being here.
Hi, Patrick. It is such an honor to be on your show.
And what I... And it's an honor for you to be on, Curtis, too. Thank you so much. And I wanted to bring you on because, you know, elder abuse, as you know, I'm preaching to the choir, is such a unfortunate crime, but it's on the rise, right, Curtis? At least here in Colorado, and I'm sure it is nationwide, but certainly in Missouri, I imagine.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, the thing that is so frustrating to me about it is that it's such an underreported crime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's hard sometimes for the elderly to put themselves out there and report the crime because they fear they're going to all of a sudden lose control maybe of their finances if mm-hmm. they do admit to that something happened to them. So it's such an underreported thing, and it's so frustrating too because I'll be perfectly honest, it's one of the things that made me want to go to law school was helping elderly people and helping the disadvantaged kind of level the playing field. And when you see these criminals take advantage of elderly folks, it's just one of those things that kind of gets your blood boiling, right?
Yeah, and exactly right. And I've seen, like we were talking about before, I've seen many of these cases. And Curtis, correct me if I'm wrong. I was always taught that a lot of it is just kind of a generational thing. You know, the older people in our society, the elders, kind of did business a lot differently back in the day. Business was done on a handshake. So they put a lot of trust in people sometimes that don't deserve that trust. Correct?
Yeah. You know, we have a phrase, and we call the older adults the gentleman or gentlewoman's mm-hmm. generation. You're right. Things were done on a handshake. They were taught to be very trusting and be very polite. Mm-hmm. And that makes it even more frustrating when people take advantage of that trusting kind mm-hmm. of nature. And when we talk in our sessions with groups of older adults, you know, we try to tell them that you're not being rude if you hang up the phone and disconnect mm-hmm. From a scam call, or if you politely tell that person at the door who's trying to get inside that, no, I'm not interested, and close the door quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you're right. That it is a generational thing because I find that so many older baby boomers and the generation that preceded the baby boomers were taught to be very polite and trusting, and they are.
Mm-hmm. And of course, technology has just made it much worse. Just to be clear, I mean, not every, you know, older member of the population is getting scammed out there, but I think technology, at least from my point of view in law enforcement, that's made it a lot easier because, again, they didn't grow up with this technology, Curtis.
That's right. You know, I mean, the fastest growing demographic getting onto social media these days are older baby boomers,
mm-hmm.
and you know, as good as technology can be and as good as social media can be because it allows families that may be scattered about the country or even the world to stay in contact and stay in touch, But it does make it very easy for the scammer to manipulate an older person who is already uncomfortable and unsure of him or herself by being on social media. Mm-hmm. And you've got a very savvy, no doubt young scammer who's hiding behind an anonymous profile, and it's very easy for them to defraud folks or get information from them.
So I know that there's a bunch of scams out there. You know that, Curtis, and a majority of our listeners probably know that too. But what are the dead giveaways? What are some dead giveaways of a scam or a fraud?
Well, I think first and foremost, we have a saying on the Scammercast, and that is, don't be chosen, always do the choosing. So the first dead giveaway is that you are being chosen by someone else. And that is usually in the form of a telephone call or an email, mm-hmm. or even in some instances of face-to-face contact. Mm-hmm. So if the older adult is not the one initiating the contact, that ought to be a warning signal, if you will, that this may be a problem. The second dead giveaway really is that the scammer will attempt to manipulate some sort of emotion inside that older adult. And scammers are master manipulators. They know what to look for, and they know what buttons to push to find what emotion it is in that particular older adult that is the one that is going to be the trigger. Mm-hmm. And it can be a positive emotion, like excitement, that oftentimes we see when it's a fake sweepstakes or fake lottery kind of scam. You know, mm-hmm. you've won this great prize, and all you need to do is send us a few $100 for taxes, et cetera, et cetera. And it gets the older adult or the victim emotionally agitated in a positive way, and it makes them easy to manipulate. Or on the flip side of that, the scammer will manipulate a negative emotion, mm-hmm. Such as fear. And that's what we see in the very common IRS scam, where the older adult receives a telephone call or an email from somebody identifying themselves from the IRS or the Treasury Department, and, you know, boy, you're in big trouble because you haven't paid your taxes, and we're going to send the marshals over right mm-hmm. now if you don't take care of this.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Those are the two most important things that we teach are dead giveaways. Mm-hmm. Number one, the scammer does the choosing of the victim, and number two, the scammer manipulates the emotions of the victim.
I know one of the cases I had, one of the last cases when I was a detective, was this poor older woman who, and I'm sure you've heard of this scam, Curtis, there's so many of them out there, but they called up and they said her niece, I can't remember, it was a family member that was arrested, you know, in some foreign country, and yeah. they had to, you know, she had to wire X amount of dollars, I think it was like $5,000 or $6,000, and she did it, this poor lady. I mean, and again, playing on those emotions, and this poor lady, you know, did it, and you know, it's often some, you know, country again, you know. And the money's gone in most cases. You're never going to recover that.
Very true. You know, we call that the grandparent scam, because it's usually in the form of somebody calling up saying they're the grandchild, or it will be somebody who actually identifies themselves as law enforcement or mm-hmm. a lawyer in the foreign country who is representing the grandchild. And, you know, that one keeps coming back. Mm-hmm. Just like the IRS and tax scams, they continue to recycle, and they come back in slightly different formats. There was a lady here in the St. Louis metropolitan area last year that lost $250,000 to a grandparent scam. And you know, I think the reaction of most people that may be listening to this podcast is, well, how could anyone fall for that? I mean, wouldn't she know somewhere along the way that this is a scam? And again, as I point out, these are victims, mm-hmm. and they're being manipulated emotionally, and it's very difficult for the older adult to break out of that cycle, particularly when they have somebody on the other end who is either begging and pleading them not mm-hmm. to tell mom or dad that I'm in trouble, or even more forceful, don't go to the police, you know, and report this kind mm-hmm. of thing. So it's just, it's just heartbreaking. It really
is. And like you said before, and like we've talked about, I mean, they grew up in a generation where they didn't. I'm sure scams were around when they were, you know, when they were growing up. But they weren't. I don't think as you know, obviously they didn't have that technological component that they do now in a lot of cases with internet scams. And I mean, this IRS scam, I mean, I doubt scams like that were going on back in the day. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think that they, like we talked about, they were just, you know, they're just, you know, so more trusting. And again,
yeah,
it's easier, you know, these days to get away with that stuff.
Yeah, it absolutely is. You know, I mean, before the advent of the internet, scams were, well, maybe by telephone, but even if we go farther back, you know, frankly, they had to be face-to-face contact.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think we lose a bit of our ability to judge a person when we're not able to see them eye to eye,
mm-hmm,
and not look at them. You know, I mean, our
sure
gut oftentimes tells us when we're face-to-face with somebody that this isn't quite right,
mm-hmm,
and so on and so forth. But you lose all ability to do that when both of you are looking at a computer screen.
Yeah, and you know, you made a comment about, you know, how some maybe first responders or law enforcement might say, well, why didn't you? I've never said that to like a victim, especially an elder victim of identity theft or any kind of financial crime. I've never said, well, why didn't you know? Because they didn't know. I mean, they're
no,
so trusting.
Yeah.
And
very true. And oftentimes we have to make these kinds of comments to family members, unfortunately, who are caregivers, because a family member who's a caregiver oftentimes is coming in maybe halfway through the scam scenario,
mm-hmm,
or right afterwards, and their emotions are running high, they're flustered, and oftentimes they kind of come in and take over very aggressively,
mm-hmm,
with mom or dad, and that's not the right approach either, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and so we have to treat the older adult with care and respect and love, while on the other side making sure that we're limiting the damage and taking the steps we need to take to stop the bleeding, so
mm-hmm
to speak, as aggressively as we possibly can, but not coming in and trampling all over mom and dad's psyche in the process, because
sure,
they're already down, believe me. They're already shamed, they're flustered, they're sad, they're angry. There's just a whole host of emotions that they're going through that the caregiver and the professional need to really be on the lookout for.
And I'm sure you've seen this before. I'm glad you brought up the topic of caregivers, Curtis, because I've seen a lot of cases where the caregivers are the ones that are taking advantage of mom and dad. I'm sure you've seen relatives take advantage of steal from mom and dad. And I had a big case when I was a detective where the daughter was stealing just a ton of money from her mom that was kind of in that pre-dementia stage, and she was in a nursing home, and her own daughter was just siphoning money. And I'm sure so how do you educate seniors? And I know it's a delicate subject, but how do you educate seniors about that too? Because sometimes it could be their own family members.
Yeah, and oftentimes it is, and that's still a large portion of all of the financial exploitation that occurs in this country,
mm-hmm,
is a family member,
yeah, exactly,
or a caregiver, and usually it's an adult child who is exploiting an elderly parent, and even more specifically, it's usually an elderly or an adult son who is exploiting a mom.
Mm-hmm.
Dad may have passed away or is in a nursing home, and the adult son is the exploiter. And it's unfortunate, but it occurs on an everyday basis, and I see it quite a bit in my elder law practice. And the only way you can really educate older adults to talk to them about it is if you can get them in a setting, maybe a group setting where we're giving a presentation where we will touch on family-on-family financial exploitation, or at least in my kind of practice where I do a lot of estate planning, I bring the topic up when I'm doing estate planning,
mm-hmm,
with all of my clients, no matter what age they are, as we go through the documents that are necessary to have a good estate plan, and one of them is a power of attorney.
Sure.
I'm, you know, very blunt with my clients that the person that you pick to be your agent needs to be somebody you know, like, and trust, and that oftentimes may not be your your child. So, you know, really think about it on the front end, because when it starts occurring, it's going to be tough for that older adult to report.
And a lot of times, like I was telling you about a case I had where, you know, in this particular case I'm thinking about, it was a daughter, it wasn't a son, but she had convinced mom, you know, not to press charges. And luckily our district attorney went ahead, you know, with the charges based on the severity of the crime, the financial crime. The district attorney said, I don't care what the daughter says, we're going ahead, and this is a pretty serious case of exploitation. But it's that manipulation again, like you were.
Yeah, and I'm glad to see that on the part of the district attorney, because most of the time, it's just like, you know, it's just like domestic abuse cases. You don't have a willing witness that wants to testify. And I think that it is in society's interest that the prosecuting attorneys do prosecute these cases, because that's the only way we're going to ever have enough of a deterrent effect out there to get people to stop doing this.
And you know, Curtis, as well as I mean, it's very, very tough. I'm sure you cover this when you're talking with seniors, but I'm not trying to mitigate the fact that you're pressing charges against a family member. It's very, very difficult, but sometimes that needs to be done.
It does. You know, I've had a couple instances here locally where it was an adult child who was exploiting an elderly parent, and a sibling found out about it and stepped in and stopped it. But again, when we were talking about the prospect of going to the state's attorney, and in fact, in this case, we were going to go to the federal attorney as well, U.S. attorney's office, the sibling wouldn't do it because it was a family member. No matter how egregious it was, and believe me, it was an egregious instance. But every case is unique, every case is challenging, and again, it's just that emotional component. I mean, the same kinds of emotions that make the elderly susceptible to scam artists and fraud and exploitation prevents them from reporting these kinds of crimes to law enforcement. That's tough. It really is.
Now, Curtis, you know laws are different in each state. If listeners want to educate them, I'm talking about most law enforcement know what we're talking about or educated, but other people who might be listening to the show and your shows, I mean, how do they educate themselves? Because you can't be everywhere all the time. How can they educate themselves more on these type of issues with the elderly?
I think there's a number of good resources, educational resources out there. AARP is very active in this space, and every state has a chapter. And so if you look for the local AARP website or office, they'll have a lot of resources to help educate older adults and caregivers out there. The BBB has a number of resources. A lot of them are directed to business owners, but many of these scams kind of cross, you know, there aren't just sort of exclusive scams against older adults, except maybe the grandparent scam. But IRS scams and all these other kinds of things cut across all sorts of demographic lines. So the BBB has a lot of good information. Here locally, we have what we call an Elder Justice Council, which is a project spearheaded by our local prosecutor's office, and it brings together a number of individuals and departments from the FBI to local law enforcement to the prosecutor's office to clergy to social service agencies to private attorneys, and created a website to put information out there and resources. So listeners may want to check with the local a district attorney or prosecuting mm-hmm. attorney's office as well, because they may have some educational resources available.
Excellent. And we talked a little bit about emotional hooks. Is there any other hooks out there, Curtis, that people should be aware of?
Yeah, my partner in the podcast project, his name is Art Maines, and he's a licensed clinical social worker and a counselor and who wrote a book called Scammed, 3 Steps to Help Your Elder Parents and Yourself. And that book came about because he helped his stepfather recover from a fake sweepstakes scam where he lost about $70,000 in the scam. So Art came up with a framework called the 5 flags, and those are the main emotional hooks that scammers will use. And the 5 flags are fear, loneliness, anger, greed, and sympathy. Mm-hmm. And so in virtually every victim, you will find either one or a combination of those 5 emotions that the scammer has identified and then is just, you know, banging away at to pull the scam off.
Such good information. What legal tools, Curtis, can you give caregivers out there to help, you know, seniors prevent, you know, and kind of recover from, you know, various scams or frauds? Because there's a lot of caregivers out there.
Yeah, there are. The main legal tool that I have to offer and that most elder law or estate planning attorneys have to offer is the document called the Power of Attorney, as we mentioned before. And the basic way that a Power of Attorney works is it is a document prepared and signed by the older adult who appoints an agent to basically help the older adult with finances if the older adult can't take care of themselves. And this is for many reasons, it's a very important document that everybody should have mm-hmm. in their estate plan. But when we talk about recovering from scams and fraud, it is essential, because without that kind of document, the only alternative that a caregiver has is to go to court and be appointed a guardian, mm-hmm. which can be a long and messy process sometimes. Mm-hmm. So I would encourage everyone who is giving care to an older adult to make sure that they have a power of attorney in place that gives them the ability to help if need be.
And the power of attorney, Curtis, just to be clear, I mean, gives the caregiver or designee power to make financial decisions, in some cases medical decisions, correct?
Yes. Here in where I practice, they are 2 separate documents.
Okay.
There's a power of attorney for finances, and then there's a separate power of attorney for health care.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, that varies from state to state.
So,
yeah, you'll definitely want to check with a qualified estate planning or elder law attorney in your state to see what documents there are.
Now,
available. Yeah.
Now, what? Since the majority of listeners to this podcast are first responders or law enforcement, what suggestions or tips or tools? Because, like I said, we are, and you know, Curtis, we're an aging population. We're going to see more of this, and we are seeing more of this as first responders. So, what suggestions or tips can you give law enforcement or first responders out there when they're investigating these horrific crimes?
Boy, that's that's a tough question, because I know that law enforcement does the best they can do with the resources they have, and unfortunately, so many of these scams and frauds are being conducted by people who are overseas, unseen, and it's a challenge, I'm sure, from a law enforcement perspective to track down each and every one of these things.
Mm-hmm.
All I can encourage the folks in law enforcement to do is please respect the older adult. Mm-hmm. Again, similar to the caregiver, oftentimes it can be easy to kind of come in and say, let's take your report and move on. But these are crimes, they can be every bit as devastating as physical abuse or physical crimes are, and so I hope that the brothers and sisters in law enforcement can can treat the older adult with kindness, love, and respect, take the report, pass it on, follow down the leads as best you can, or mm-hmm. See what we can do. I know it's incredibly difficult for local law enforcement to deal with these things, I don't know the answer. I really don't. Mm-hmm. I don't know how we can stop. I mean, it's one thing if it's a family member who's exploiting a family member. I think that's a pretty straightforward law enforcement kind of situation, as long mm-hmm. as you've got somebody willing to report it. But, you know, I just had a situation the other day where a client received a letter with a check, you know, and this was a valid check, and the instructions were deposit it and send on $25 of it to someone else. Well, by the time they do that and figure out, oh my goodness, there's a problem here, I don't know what local law enforcement can do to help other than take the report and see if the FBI gets involved in the case or something, you know. It's a challenge, I know.
Well, and you gave a lot of good tips. And the one thing that I was thinking about when you were talking was, and I hate to pick on, you know, the younger officers, but I've seen this a couple times where they're mm-hmm. they're not being as empathetic as they can be, you know, because they, you know, they're just like you said, and I've been guilty of it too years ago, not recently, but you know, all right, come on, I'm gonna take the report and then I'm gonna move on to the next thing.
Right,
but I think
right.
we need to be more empathetic, like you said, Curtis, and we need to treat them with respect. They are victims. To them, it is a huge deal. It is a huge, you know, they're shamed. You know, they don't want to be, you know, they don't want to report it, like you indicated, that, you know, the last thing they want to do is kind of, you know, be shamed and, you know, have a cop sitting in front of them. So, you know, be empathetic, do a thorough investigation, even if, you know, it is an over, do an, you know, a thorough investigation.
Yeah, I agree. And I think all of us kind of go through an evolution in our profession. I'm sure when I was a young lawyer, I was the same way, you know, kind of, a little less empathetic, and let's get the facts and let's move on, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think as we get older and as we see the impact that these crimes have on the older adult, I mean, it's not unusual for older adults who may lose a significant portion of their retirement savings
exactly.
In these kinds of scams or fraud to give up. And, you know, there are cases of suicides that
yeah.
That we read about that have occurred after scams and fraud. You know, one scam we haven't even touched on tonight that still impacts older adults is a romance scam.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and all of a sudden, this person that they've been communicating with for weeks or months just disappears with half of their retirement savings. I mean, that is just incredibly devastating. And so I think it's a challenge for that law enforcement officer who is coming into that kind of situation to be able to tread lightly but do a full and fair investigation.
Well, amazing information, such important information, Curtis, that you've given us. If people want to reach out to you, sir, how can they find you?
Well, our podcast is, as you mentioned earlier, it's called The Scammer Cast. And we are on a podcast network called the Two Guys Talking Podcast Network, which is located here in the St. Louis metropolitan area. I know currently that our website is undergoing some upgrades, but hopefully it will be back up soon. And if you go to scammercast.com, you can find us there. You can find us on iTunes if you search for Scammercast. The same if you are an Android user on Stitcher or Google Play.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can find me on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn if you search for my name, Curtis Bailey. So try to stay active in all of those arena because it seems to be a place where a lot of information can be shared quickly,
mm-hmm.
and so that's where we are. Even though that's where the scammers are too, but that's okay.
Well, and I'll have all your information linked up the podcast, the website, cjevolution.net. So that's another way where people can, you know, reach out to you, because I'll have it linked up to my site too, Curtis. Is there any last words of wisdom or advice? I mean, we could probably talk all night about this, but some, you know, some words of wisdom or anything you can give the listener before we take off.
Well, for the caregivers and the professionals, including law enforcement, it's be vigilant and don't be afraid to dig a little deeper with an older adult, because oftentimes the older adult is going to be reluctant and reticent to talk about anything. Mm-hmm. But you really have to notice subtle changes in language and in body movements and the whole bit to see if there's a problem, and don't be afraid to dig in there a little deeper and ask those questions and find out if there's a problem.
Well, Curtis, and it all starts, and I appreciate and I really admire what you're doing, because it all starts with education, which you are doing. You're educating the public. You have a podcast. And again, so thank you so much for what you do. It's very, very important information out there. So, sir, I appreciate you coming on the show.
Patrick, once again, it's been an honor to be with you, and I thank you very much for getting this information out to your listeners.
Yes, I appreciate it, sir, and you're welcome back anytime, sir.
Thank you.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to CJ Evolution. Be sure to head over to iTunes and rate and review the podcast, and reach out to Patrick on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Anchor, or Snapchat. We'll see you next time on CJ Evolution.